Y'all can get down to be like. You can be like and be proud. You can be proud here, be proud. You're a rebel because the South's gonna do it again. Hi, y'all. This is Charlie Daniels. I've been telling you the South's going to do it again. Well, the South Shore's going to do it again, too. Monday Night Talk. Leave it where it's at.
Now, back to Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi.
Welcome back to Monday Night Talk. Boy, I got to tell you, there's nothing that gets your blood pumping than talking about raising taxes.
Yeah.
But be sure to tune into the podcast, mondaynighttalk.podbean.com. Of course, you can go on there and hear Richard Rosen and his popular pot when we announced that there's pizza. And I thought that Kerry Byrne should be here any moment. He'll make a grand entrance anytime now, so we can talk some football.
Kevin, you know what else you'll be able to hear if this segment goes up online?
What? You
me,
eating?
Me eating pizza.
You also hear me kicking you out of the studio. Make sure you don't eat up all that Hawaiian pizza.
I
had to
yell
at you last time for doing
that. We're having pizza here from our wonderful sponsor from McGuigan's Pub.
You're doing, you know what, this is Hedlund rule number 4, no eating in the studio.
But he used to do it all the time.
He used to do it all the time.
Even though he told me not
to. He couldn't go 4 shows without it. How's the pizza been going, by the way, Mr. Rosen?
You know, with all due respect about no eating in the studio, I was here a couple of weeks ago, and if I remember correctly, there were 3 other people in here who actually couldn't speak on live radio because they had their mouths full of pizza, and I had to keep doing some...
Yeah, I was one of those guilty parties.
Yeah, you were one of those guilty parties, but frankly, the pizza's going very well, thank you. The 25-cent wings, and the pizza's doing really well.
Of course, we have Geraldo,
hey,
known as Steve Dodrell, who wants to pop in. Kerry Byrne! Everybody, round of applause for Kerry Byrne.
You know, Steve,
I know. I just walked in. I didn't get a round of applause.
Steve, I seem to only see you when
you're not round. I am.
It's not me. Hey, I just want to comment on Mr. Rosen's bar. The bar at McQuiggan's is fantastic. Nice long bar. You can see everybody from every angle.
We thought we would make
Thank you, Steven.
No problem.
What we've done tonight is we want to see Kerry doubles, other than being the potentate of pigskin for coldhardfootballfacts.com. I wanted to give him kind of the McGuigan's Pub atmosphere by having you kind of sitting at the... This isn't necessarily 54 feet like your mahogany bar in McGuigan's Pub. But, you know, we got refreshments, we have pizza. So we're kind of, you know... Kerry, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. You know, the best thing about bar pizza, it's such a South Shore institution, right? I've written about this for
Haven't
the Boston Herald.
We've talked about this.
And it just, you know, people in the North Shore, you know, those heathens... They're walking, you know, they just started walking erect 2 generations ago. They don't know what bar pizza is.
Wait, I saw that on the History Channel.
I wrote that. And so it's kind of a great social thing, you know, the cardboard plates, or the personal size. What is that, 10 inches?
It's a 10-inch
pizza. 10-inch pizza, the way you cook them in the steel pans.
Right.
Right?
You
and that's a social thing.
I got to tell you something that's funny, though, because I kind of told Richard kind of, I told him we're going to talk football, that I had you coming on. He says, yeah, I got Kerry Byrne from Cold Eye Football Facts, and he's also the food critic for the Herald. He goes, oh, hey, that's great. I said, do you mind bringing some pizza? Yeah, no problem. So tonight, just out of nowhere, he goes, hey, why are you talking football with a food critic? I go, because don't you know who he is? He goes, oh, yeah. It came to him, but...
I thought
it was kind of funny for a moment.
I say, look at me. I don't criticize much food. So to call me a food critic's not... I've used that line before, Jerry. So to call me a food critic's not exactly accurate.
Honestly, this business about they don't have bar pizza outside of the South Shore is all brand new to me. This is an actual thing? Because I've never traveled outside the South Shore.
The 10-inch... Well, you go ahead. You're the food
critic. And now that I know that I can't get bar pizza outside the social, I will not travel.
Not only is it a social thing, can I tell you specifically? It follows an old trolley route. Through Quincy, down Route 3A, Hancock Street, down Route 37. Are you far from 37?
I'm in Whitman. No, I'm not that far.
Exactly. And that's what it followed, right through Braintree to the Cape Cod Cafe and all that. And it actually follows from Quincy down Route 37 through Holbrook, Braintree, In Dubrovnik.
So not unlike how the Silk Route went from like China to Rome.
Exactly.
The 10-inch pub bar pizza was invented on the South Shore. It's very unique to the South Shore of Massachusetts. Regardless of where you go, this was invented in our backyard.
And now that you mention it, and I'll introduce myself since you haven't, Kevin. But I'm
Jerry Thornton. He's the guy that you see down in Hanover doing peewee football on Saturday. No,
yes, also the funniest man on the South Shore.
He is the funniest guy.
It's the bar pizza, really.
It is that, the bar pizza. But Jerry does some great pieces on BarstoolSports.com and also WEEI.com.
No, not EEI so much anymore. I've been a regular.
I heard you cheating on the sports hub.
Yeah, you know what? If you like it, then put a ring on it. You know what I mean? I am a radio prostitute. I will work for anybody and talk
football.
Oh,
it's a twist off.
It's a twist off. The FCC doesn't need to know that we're drinking
root beer.
Yeah, exactly. Where was that? Oh yeah, the bar pizza thing. Now I have slung my share of bar pizzas, working night jobs or whatever, and those pans are virtually impossible to get. You know what I mean? Like every pub in the South Shore has like stacks of them, like 6 feet high in the back. But I defy you to go to a store and just buy them.
How many steel pans do you have in McWiggins?
Well, we just started serving pizzas, actually 3 weeks ago tomorrow. We've been in business 3 years. Right now we have 36, and I'm trying to get my hands on another 36.
I think the Alumni Cafe in Quincy has about 400,000.
Yeah, we will have
conservatively estimated.
We'll have a bunch of them in the next couple of weeks. But you don't want brand new ones.
I know where you can find some. Just break into the. No, you would never do that.
I have a number of them coming from someplace else. I'm just not sure how many, but we have 36 going right now. And
now, did you grow up on the South Shore?
I was born and raised in Whitman.
Oh, you were? All right.
I'm sorry?
Third generation.
I'm sorry?
Yeah, you heard me.
I did. I'm just sorry. It's just an old joke. I grew up in Weymouth, so pardon me if Whitman I lured that over other people.
Did you go to Whitman Hanson?
I went to Whitman Hanson.
Can I tell you a true story? It happened in this town right down the street. I've been fortunate enough to cover Super Bowls, cover a lot of football. The greatest football game I ever saw was about 10, 12 years ago. Whitman Hanson. Their offensive line had to average 180 pounds. Beat Marshfield like 9-7 down here at Marshfield. The place was packed. It was mob. Marshfield was undefeated. The best team in the state. And Whitman Hanson came in here and kicked the bleep out of them. Just a scrappy, scrawny, tough football team. I think Bob Bancroft was still the coach. Yeah. Best football game I ever saw. And I mentioned it to Jenny Ventura from the Boston Herald. He said, yeah, it might have been the best game he ever saw.
Well,
too.
They just put a scare into Abington, at least the first half of this past Thanksgiving. And then Abington hit the gas pedal.
That game you're talking about, I think Sean Conover was also a tight end or wide receiver at that point. Went on to play for the Titans.
Yeah,
Marshfield.
Wow. Steve Dodrell might have been
played
calling
for
that
a couple teams. Couple
Marshfield
for,
sent a couple kids from that team
Titans.
To Division One football.
Yes, Titans.
Yeah,
yeah, that was good. And then they had Tommy Pimentel in the 2001 Super Bowl, kicking the field goal last second. That was a good game. Good season.
You know, over the years, Whitman Hanson has had some really good teams.
Especially
back
with
in
great
my
coaches.
Day, we had a couple of undefeated teams back in the day.
What was that, 1982?
Panther at heart.
Back in the day. I have socks older than you, for crying out loud.
He actually does.
You're standing in the corner over him.
Well, before we close out the McWiggins Pub talk, there's one other great attribute that you can have other than a pint and a pie, is you can go down during a football game, not only on DirecTV, watch any game that you want, whether it's a Sunday or a Thursday night game, if they have like four of them going on. But you also get wings for, 25 cents, right?
I didn't realize this was a McWiggins Pub segment.
That's okay.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yes, you can.
It kind of is, though, isn't
we
it?
We sell 25-cent wings during all the NFL games. Mm. Thursdays, Sundays, Mondays. It doesn't matter who's playing like some other places. Only sell them during Pats games. Yes, and I do lose money on every wing we sell.
Then you should give them away.
I pretty much
That's
do.
That's my marketing strategy.
25 cents, I pretty much do. And they're good. But no, and we just started yesterday. Our pizzas start at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, but yesterday we started serving them at 1 on Sundays. So now you can get 25-cent wings and pizzas on Sundays at 1.
Wow.
So if that's McWiggins segment, then I think I'll have some pizza in.
Have some pizza, and let's talk a little bit of football, whether you want to talk Whitman Hanson Panther football or... If you want to talk this past weekend or past Thursday, feel free.
Well, my team of sixth graders that won the Super Bowl, but no, that'll be for another night.
Well, see, Jerry, see the two beauties here is You can go to coldhotfootballfacts.com, and there are a team of writers, including Kerry, who break it down. And they may be a fan of Tom Brady's. They may hate Tom Brady, but they're going to give it to you how it is and how they see it and why they see it the way they see it, and they use stats. You can also, Jerry, who writes from time to time, and whether it's Boston Sports, EEI, wherever he is, and give you tongue-in-cheek how it's happening, whether it's a win by the Patriots or, you know, the hooded one, as he likes to call him. That's how it, you know, that's how you get it.
So to paint the picture, Kevin, you can go to Kerry and get facts and based on science and data, or you can go to me, who pulls opinions completely out of his rear end. That is 100% true.
Actually, he actually wrote for Cold Hot Football Facts many years ago. It was like peanut butter and mayonnaise. So I mean, it just didn't quite.
Right, and I love it. I'm not just saying that because Kerry's here. I quote them. I quote their data all the time to back up my census opinions. But yeah, I mean, I loved writing for them, but it was just two completely different styles that didn't quite
mesh. We couldn't afford Jerry. That was the problem.
It was that too. But you know what? That was the day before the 25-cent wing was invented. He could have paid me in those, and I would have been fine.
Jerry, let me throw it to you that the two best cold hard football facts so far this season. One, Notre Dame surrenders 9 touchdowns all season on defense, playing in the national title game.
Can you believe that?
It's not 9 in this day and age when teams score 60 points a game.
Right.
9 touchdowns all year. But more importantly, the best cold hard football fact of the 2012 season, Fireman Ed's resignation letter from the Jets was longer than Bill Belichick.
Please don't talk about it. Please don't talk about that.
And by the way, if Fireman Ed was in Massachusetts, he would have just gone out on disability. But,
do you think it was Mark Sanchez being steamrolled by his own offensive lineman? That they kind of just pushed him over the edge, going, I can't take it.
At some point, every Jets fan has to crack, right? We haven't reached that point yet. But just how much more degradation can one fan base...
When the face of your fan, the face of your franchise from the fan perspective retires and quits... They've cracked like eggs.
Yeah, I guess he said he couldn't take the heckling anymore that he was getting from his own fan
base.
Well,
when you're getting up on another guy's shoulders, I mean, it says something.
And how about that letter? He wrote it like it was Martin Luther King's letter from Birmingham jail, you know? Like, I call for peace and respect one another and bring about love. It's like and he referred to himself as Fireman Ed. Like, I'm going to be
the third person or the fourth?
Exactly. So that the kids will still have Fireman Ed. Like, really?
Wait,
you're just a moron and
I have
a half.
To ask. Wait, but let's check the psyche. Was it written in crayon?
It was lettuce cut out of newspaper.
That's when you know he's ready to go over the fiscal cliff. That's when you know we're in trouble here.
Leave $50 under the rock behind the Meadowlands.
We wonder what it would take to get him to quit. And you know what it was? It was Mark Sanchez getting pink eye, basically, from the fecal matter in the rear end of his right guard.
Wow. Someone put together, remember the old Benny Hill theme music?
Yakety Sax.
Yakety Sax, which I found out this week. Someone put the Jets lowlights from that game to that music. And it is. It's like the Keystone Cops trying to play football. And this is a real NFL team. And I'm not one to, I mean, I'm really not one to pile on one team but this was bad. I mean, that was ugly. And to have one thing after another unfold like that in front of you was embarrassing. Right. It was, I mean, even if you weren't a Jets fan, it was embarrassing to watch that team try to play football.
We're what, 11, 12 weeks into the season?
12 weeks, 11 games.
I got to ask you, I mean, what do you guys feel as far as Atlanta Falcons, are they the real deal? Are the 49ers the real deal with Colin Kaepernick? Do you see the Houston Texans being the real deal team? Are these the teams that we're going to see, or is there a chance that maybe the Baltimore Ravens and the New England Patriots and the other teams like that might possibly be in the mix, other than those top-tier teams that we've been hearing and that you know?
Well, my preseason Super Bowl prediction was Houston over San Francisco in the Super Bowl. I think that's still pretty valid, pretty strong. Sure. Houston, they're the two top-to-bottom best teams in football. They do everything well. They have no weaknesses. In Houston's case, though, a couple close wins against bad teams.
Right.
It's a little concerning. Yeah. In San Francisco, replacing your starting quarterback with six games to play.
Alex Smith on the bench. I mean, this is a guy who was, let's not forget, he's probably still licking the wounds from when he was kind of, you know, when San Francisco was chasing the Peyton Manning dream for a bit there. And then, so, yeah, you know, Alex, you know, now that we kind of think of it, everybody else is off the market. Yeah, you can come back.
Sure. Well, and there are no super teams at the moment. I mean, there are a good 8 or 10 teams that you could throw into a hat right now, and any one of them, I would say, has a legit chance to win. I'm still not sleeping on the Giants, but believe me, if they make it to the Super Bowl this year, that's it. I'm just going to go into like a self-induced coma for a couple of years because I can't take another one of it. But, you know, the hottest team in football to me going into this past week was New Orleans. And they got pasted, you know, a couple of weeks earlier, San Francisco, who beat them, barely squeaked out a win. Green Bay was looking phenomenal. Again, the same team that went 15-1 last year,
sure. And
they got drubbed last night. So I don't know really that there's any team that you can rule out.
The hottest team in football, how about this? The Patriots scored 108 points in 103 hours. From Sunday afternoon to Thursday night, I actually added up the hours. I need to break out my abacus and everything. 108 points. I don't think that's never happened before in football. That many points in 103 hours.
And how far back do you have to go to find any team that scored 108 points in back-to-back?
I think only three teams have scored more than 108 points in consecutive games.
But what about three touchdowns in 52 seconds? It's 56. Almost 50. Yeah, it's almost impossible.
52 seconds.
Yeah. It's almost impossible.
It was 56.
It was 52. I know because it was actually the worst 52 seconds anyone's had since my wife on my last birthday.
Okay.
And why? This story seems like it needs more.
Come on. You guys can just... The poor thing which she had to go through. Once a year.
Kevin, you asked earlier about the Falcons. I don't think they're the real deal. They weren't the real deal last year. I don't think they're really it this year. And you know, I got to tell you, I actually can form an opinion because now that NASCAR's over, I pay attention to football. So I've been watching, even though we had a disappointing NASCAR season this year, at least for me, I can now turn my attention to football.
Dale Earnhardt Jr. will win it next year, I promise you.
That's not who I was pulling for at the end there.
And
the
Bruins? I think NASCAR would be better if they had more bench-clearing brawls like they had a couple weeks ago.
In Phoenix, that was a great
race. That was great. That was the best NASCAR race of the year. It was like old-time hockey.
You know, I really think it's the crashes that they need. You know, I love the demolition derbies, and I think it really just needs a few more crashes. Right, Joe?
Just got to get Jeff Gordon out there and hit a few more people unnecessarily.
Remember when Pinky Tuscadero and Weather Tuscadero took on Fonzie in the demolition derby? That was like the highlight of television. Am I dating myself there?
Shortly after that, it jumped the shack.
Yeah. Oh, no. It jumped long before that. Actually, Happy Days jumped the shack for me with two words. Potsy sings.
Oh, I should say Mork for Mork.
No, once Potsy started singing, that I completely tapped
out. And Joe scratching his head off to go, what? And Mr. Dodrell.
You have no idea.
No idea.
Rosen was talking about his age, and I was just like, oh, geez, I'm not...
Don't forget, he lives a town over from you. Easy.
Well, he was talking about when he graduated from Whitman Hanson, and I was going to say 2005.
If you ever want to get on the Whitman Hanson Wall of Fame...
He is. I see him every time.
I'm saying if you want to, he knows people.
All right.
I am the president of the Alumni Association.
That's all I have to say.
Hanson pride.
Yes. So do you, looking at it right now, you guys talk about the Patriots, how well they've done. But isn't it a mirage? I mean, we're going to find out if they're the real deal in the next 3 weeks, going up against Miami down in Miami, going up against Houston. Of course, they're going to have Houston and San Francisco at home. Is this, you know, is this where we're going to see the rubber meets the road? And if, in fact, this team is able to, you know, go 47-9, you know, since, you know, last year, all the way from 2000 last year, 47-9 in the month of December.
Well, one of the eternal truisms of football is that balance wins. Balance triumphs over imbalanced teams. And the Patriots are nothing if not imbalanced. We're probably on pace right now. I don't think people are talking about this enough. Right now, on pace to score more points than any team in the history of football, even more than the 2007 Patriots, who hold the current record, scored 589 points. So clearly an offensive juggernaut for the ages. But their defense is still average on a good day. And can they hold out? History says no. But it's going to be an awful fun to watch.
I think the one thing that the Patriots need to watch out for Sunday...
PEDs?
...is if they start... Well, that too. But if they really start to clobber the Dolphins, that the Dolphins are just going to turn the sprinkler system on again to, you know, to get the field cool, really slip. Yeah, that'll just, you know...
Like a Buffalo Wild Wings commercial.
That was what most people thought, right? Yeah.
I say the Patriots have lost three games by a total... Four points,
right.
Now I grant you, their defense has given them some scares, and there's an overtime win in there.
Stephen Gostkowski has had his issues as well. I mean, they could have won that Arizona game. I mean, we could sit here and speak could-haves all night.
Well, they lost that Arizona game on a blocked punt on the two-yard line, where they had Nate Ebner as the outside edge blocking on a punt, and I forget who blocked it, but I looked it up, and he was giving away literally 90 pounds to this guy. So, you know, but that's how football is. A lot of games come down to one or two plays. But I think what we're seeing is, I think Belichick truly has a philosophy of he doesn't care about yards. He doesn't care about the stats that the league uses. And I know I'm just spitballing here, but I think to him it's points, it's turnovers. And there's no taking away from it. They're a turnover machine, and it's the red zone. In all three of those phases, they're a lot better than they were last year when they were within a couple of minutes of winning the Super Bowl with the Stevens. I think it's just the paradigm is shifting, Kerry. I think dominant defenses don't carry teams to the Super Bowl anymore. In the league, the way it's currently constituted, weren't the Giants in yardage last year something like 24th or something, and
the Patriots
they
got were right
hot.
There with them.
Right.
The one thing that the Giants that the Patriots haven't had is what you always see in Super Bowl contenders and usually champions is a great pass rush, and we track that in some of our stats. And even when the Giants are bad, they still have that great pass rush, and the Patriots don't have that. That's my concern. But you know, right now they're. I mean, they're phenomenal to watch. They're definitely winning the turnover battle. By the way, I just ran the numbers on all that today. This is what I do for kicks and giggles in my spare time. I calculate turnover differential stats. And if you just win the turnover battle, just plus one. If you're just plus one or better, you win 70% of all NFL games. That's how important that is. Everyone says turnovers mean everything. And if you get up to like plus three or four, you win like 90% of all NFL games. And it really comes down to those turnovers. And, you know, they're plus eight the last 2 weeks. And they won 108 combined, 108 to 43. The Cleveland Browns this week beat the Steelers for like the first time since Pangea was the only continent, right? but they were plus.
You remember that, Kevin?
They changed one, right?
But they were plus seven in turnovers, and they still barely won. They should have, a competent team with the Patriots would have won that game by 50 points. Yeah, and so that actually was not a good game for the Browns. Good in that they won, but winning the turnover battle like that, you should blow a team out.
And yeah, they had something, I think four different running backs left the ball on the ground. And they had a few fumbles that just bounced their way, and they managed to fall back on.
I think the Steelers fumbled the ball eight times and lost five. And plus three.
You're also working on your third string quarterback right now, and they just brought in Brian Hoyer, who's their fourth string, right?
Yeah,
but even Tom Brady wouldn't win. If you fumble the ball away five times and then throw three interceptions, Tom Brady's not winning that game ever either.
And to go back to what you were saying about Atlanta, Matt Ryan had five picks of 2 weeks ago. Five picks. Brady has three on the season. And at least one of those, I think, was
is
like
he
a
in the MVP
one.
Talk, though?
He's not, and it's inexplicable. There is no reason why.
You look at his numbers. He's up there with 24 touchdowns,
three interceptions,
three picks. You know what? You know what they're going to talk? They're going to talk Peyton Manning, who had a pick and a TD this weekend. They're going to talk Matt Ryan. He's going to be in the conversation. I think he's got eight picks.
Sure. It's Brady, I think, is a victim of his own success. Mm-hmm. You know, people just don't see it anymore. He just cranks out excellence on such a regular basis that it's almost like it's just a given. And if I hear one more thing about Aaron Rodgers' terrible offensive line, who do the Patriots have on their offensive line? It's just slapped together with a bunch of like bottom of the roster guys at this point. I swear, Dante Scarnecchia, you could give him the five members of a boy band. They could just give him One Direction or like NSYNC or something.
Joey Fatone, get over there.
Right, and he would. Right, and he would get you 30 points.
If you remember from game one, that was the first thing everybody was talking about. Is this offensive line
all summer?
You look at Matt. You know, Matt Light. He retires. Brian Waters. We don't know where he is. You know, and everybody's like, oh, my God.
Dan Copen was gone.
Dan Copen
didn't play much last
year. Let him go. Yeah. He's with Denver now,
Alma couldn't stay on the field. What happens if his back acts
right.
up again?
Right. Know? He's been on and off the field for the past, since they drafted him.
Kevin, I have a stat for this. We call it the Offensive Hog Index. I have a stat for everything.
I love your stats.
It's a great. This is
the
great
Offensive
one.
Hog Index. And what it does, it measures every team, how well their offensive line performs, and we rank them 1 to 32. The Patriots consistently number one on that indicator, number one right now. They run the ball well. They protect the passer better than anyone in football. They convert third downs. They're the best offensive line in football. And the irony is that for most of this year, only three of the guys playing started in the Super Bowl just, 10, 11 months ago.
Sure. And their one true Pro Bowler has been in, what, two games, maybe? Mankins?
Maybe.
Yeah. And even then, he was never really 100% healthy. No. So, you know, I defy your average person and tell me who their right guard was last week. Their left guard was Donald Thomas, you know. Marcus Cannon was a fifth-round pick playing right tackle for them. And I don't think Brady even had to throw his uniform in the laundry hamper at the end of the game. I think he just hung it up and sprayed it with some Febreze, and he was
all
set.
But they've done a fantastic. Nate Solder has come around. I mean, this kid has done a great job. Mm-hmm. But you also have the residual. I mean, how many tight end protections are kind of lumped in there where they got the double, where they get the tight ends in blocking, whether it's Gronkowski. Don't ask me who, man.
But you know what? With that said, Brady makes every. What makes quarterbacks so important is that a great quarterback comes in and the entire team is better instantly. We saw it in 2001 when Brady replaced Bledsoe, playing with the same team, the same offensive line, the same talent, the same defense. Their scoring increased by 50% just
thank
by
you,
changing
Mo Lewis.
And yeah, and you know what? You got to give credit. I mean, he helps make that offensive line better. It's quick decisions. He knows where to throw the ball. He doesn't dink around in the backfield.
Although he's kind of got hinky with that ducking. He does that mysterious ducking. It's like,
yeah, you have 320-pound guys flying at you for 11 years, man.
I'd be kind of hinky too. But.
Yeah, but we could get you to duck just by like fake punching you from across the table.
No. Listen, I grew up in the Kevlar City. You can't scare me. But that's about it. That's all the time we have, Kerry. Yeah, that's it. Kerry, Jerry, Richie Rosen for coming in with the great pizza. And everybody else, hey, have yourself a great night. South Shore Live coming up next.
See you next week.